Hi, Antonio. Welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. And as last week, you filled in admirably for Dominique. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. So yes, I enjoyed. Let's do another week ahead,
perfect,
of course.
Perfect. So let's just quickly timestamp. It's Friday morning, London time. And obviously, this was after overnight, we saw Israel launch missiles into Iran and into several, I guess, any of their proxy or relevant targets. Markets kind of jumped negatively initially, now seems to be kind of stabilizing. So we'll see. But just in general, let's kind of, you know, first kind of do what we usually focus on and kind of in the past week. Any interesting data, kind of speeches from Fed officials, market reactions that stood out for you?
Yeah. So first of all, let me say that on the geopolitical news, the very sad geopolitical news overnight, if anything, this thing could be more inflationary. So from economic perspective, so I would not buy Treasury because, you know, even if some bad news could trigger more rally in Treasury, of course, you have, if you look beyond these headlines, it seems that the underlying economic data in US, the inflation and so on, do not suggest that is a good time to go long Treasury. In terms of Fed speak, in terms of data, so first, last week, so this week actually, we got, as we expected, the reaction from Fed speakers. The reaction, I'm publishing a piece for the week ahead in which, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more detailed, but the bottom line here is that they basically confirmed that there is no rush to cut rate. They basically said that given that inflation is more sticky than they were thinking, it would be probably more prudent to wait a bit longer because they get confidence that inflation is steadily going to 2%. So what they said is consistent with, as a baseline, two cut, probably in September and December. Now, July could be still a possible meeting for them to cut, but you really need a 3-week inflation print. And we are, if week, I mean, with core PCE, in the low 0.2, and we are in an environment of strong growth still. So my bet is that they don't cut in July, and the earliest possible date is September. And still September, I think, and based on Fed speak, that's the baseline, but I think the risk are tilted more hawkish for the simple reason that I do not believe, that's my view on inflation, we do not get just a string of low inflation print. I don't think we get a string of very high inflation print. So I'm not thinking that we have 6-7 inflation print like the first three of the year, but we will not get just 3-4 in a row, very low inflation print. Therefore, September could be at risk because at the end of the day, after this inflation print, we get this with core PC, if you get another strong inflation print in the mix, I think also September could be a little bit of risk. So baseline is still September, December, but there are more risk tilted to a more hawkish reaction function. So also in the next set of economic projection of the Fed, I think the risk are tilted towards one cut in the median of 2024 from 3 cut. The baseline would be to go from 3-2 based on Fed speak, but I think there are more hawkish risk that we could go from 3-1 based on my view on inflation. On the comment, as I said, the comment were consistent with the 2-cut baseline, but if you look at Williams, Bostic, and Cascari this week, I think their comment are tilted towards a little bit more hawkish reaction function. Of course, they are data, they react to data. So if I'm wrong and inflation print 0.1, 0.2 for the next three print, probably September for sure is going to be a cut, and maybe could even July. But my call is that inflation is not going to be that low, and that therefore my forecast. Williams, for example, just said if data called for higher rate, the Fed would hike, which is kind of obvious. But they are starting to talk, opening up a little bit the tail. And the reason is that they were surprised by the 3-0 inflation print. If we get another one, the tail for rate hike will be open, and the market will reprice accordingly. So I think, looking at William Bostic and Cascari, they are more on the a little bit more hawkish reaction function, let's say, with respect to Powell, which is more consistent for the time being with the baseline.
Right. And do you think the market's reaction to their comments is about right, or are you surprised by any of it?
No, I think it's I think that the market is at the moment. Let me check in my terminal. At the moment, so the market is pricing 40 basis point of cut by December. So I think the market has already priced less than the set of economic projections, so which has 3 cut before. So it's very difficult for the market to price more aggressively in hawkish term with respect to the set of economic projection. The market has done, because as always, the data drives everything, and the Fed
and the market's been pricing in kind of cuts on and off for 2 years.
Yes.
You know?
So 40, I think, is in line with the Fed speak at the moment. But when I look at the next inflation data, I think we could go towards 1. It's not a massive upside, because it would be 15, 40, 30, it would be 15 basis point. And when you look at what is going on in the Middle East and so on, and the possibility of something going wrong, of course, as you see overnight, the market immediately rallied, in particular, across the curve. So clearly, we can discuss about the risk reward, but I think the market pricing is a little bit fair, but I think we would price like 1 cut and not too far in time.
Right. And kind of taking into consideration your overall views, and obviously, like you said, like no one's going to perfectly predict the data for the next kind of 3-6 months, but generally how you see things now and playing out, what do you think is the most interesting part of the curve? Because I know in the past, you still kind of think a bit further out is probably the better place to be positioned. Do you still feel that?
Yes, is the answer. For 3 reasons: resilient growth, sticky inflation, and possibly stronger net coupon issuance in the next QRA announcement. When I say stronger, I mean, net coupon issuance north of 500, 540 billion, which was the previous net coupon issuance that we had in January. Obviously, we could have a situation in which we are discussing internally with Mitra, for example. There could be a situation in which Yellen could decide to be more accommodative, and given the situation, rates have been going up for a while, she could be less aggressive this time, absolutely. So I'm not putting, 90% probability on that event, but I think there is still a good chance they could keep that net coupon issuance elevated. Growth is resilient, so I expect this week, at the moment, Bloomberg consensus is still stuck at 2.3 Q1 GDP growth. I think it's going to be higher, but I think it's a bit stale. Probably that number is going to be updated this week.
Yeah.
I have the impression. I probably we are close to like 3%, maybe slightly north of 3%. This week, we had strong retail sales, suggesting that real consumption is still strong. On the other side, we had a little bit of weak housing data, and we had quite a little bit stronger than consensus industrial production. Now, it looks like a little bit of a puzzle. The way in which I explain this data is the following. We had a strong loosening of financial condition towards the last 2 months of last year. Lower rates, lower prices with this inflation, quite high real disposable income growth. And this loosening financial condition, I think they have pushed strong growth in Q1. They have sustained strong growth in Q1 above potential. Now rates have gone up. This rate going higher, mortgage rate going higher and so on, they will have an effect of slowing down the line, not yet, the economic activity. Therefore, I interpret that on the retail sales consumption side, we are still kind of fine because the labor market is still strong and the real income growth is still strong. On the other side, you start to see, it is just one data point, but housing was slowing down last week. They have been moving in a range, housing start and building permit. So I'm not going to make a big point about that. But clearly, it's the first sector that could be sensitive to higher rate is housing, as we know, which, weirdly, but can be well explained, this time in this cycle, housing has gone down, but has not triggered a recession for the reason that, as we know, there are peculiarities in this COVID cycle. But the fact that we had some weak data on housing could be a signal that rate could start to bite on the housing market, but it's too early, I think, for a global slowdown in residential investment and the housing market being a key factor to drive the economy as we speak into recession. So economic growth probably quite strong in Q1, inflation, I said already, and then the issuance that I already mentioned. So all this factor plays into, I think, the fact that unless we get sad headlines from Middle East, the long end should still go higher. I mentioned last week that you could have this position going long to here or in the 2025 area. I still think that if you are short on the long end, that would be a good edge, even if the market could price one cut, as I said before. So that could be a good edge. Clearly, you would
still like twos tens or something like that, or even
I like more like short in the long end with some edge, not completely edge, so not completely equally weighted, but with some edge on the short end, because on weak data, on bad deadlines, of course, it could rally because the market is going to price a less of an aggressive Fed, I would think.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay, and let's move to the week ahead. What kind of data points, speeches, any political issues? I guess they're going to try and pass a bill in Congress. Not sure if you got a chance to look into that, but let's, I guess, mainly start with economic data points.
Yeah, let me start with Fed speak. We don't have Fed speak because it's the blackout period, so that's good. I was very happy when I saw it was the blackout period, okay? So that's good. Then we have a lot of data next week. In general, I expect, so the next week to have, we have core PC, but as you know, when CPI is out and PPIs are out, core PC is a quite a mechanical exercise. So like everyone else, I think I expect a 0.3, a low 0.3, so probably 0.27, 0.28, something like that, which would round up to 0.3 in line with consensus. Then we have the Q1 GDP data, in which, as I said, probably around 3% with strong consumption. Then we have the March income and spending data. Now, it depends on the saving rate and so on. Dominic has done a fantastic job in the past explaining the link between saving, probability of recession, operating, and so on. So this week, I don't expect the March data to push strongly in neither direction. So if the saving rate is going to jump higher, could be a signal of a risk of a recession. If it's going to be lower, could help overheating the economy. I don't think we get strong move there. Probably we are in line with consensus, I would say. Because as I said, when I look ahead, I think rates will start to bite a little bit on the economy. So I think this data will not massively surprise, but still will be good enough, similar to consensus, I would say. Then we have also jobless claim, which of course are a very timely measure of the labor market, not the best quality, but I still expect to see a continuation of the same story, so quite low claims. Then we have durable good and capital good. Again, in this case, in line with consensus, the trend in real capital good spending, which correlates very well with equipment capex, has been flatlining in the last kind of year, let's say. So we don't see really a capex boom in the real economic data. And I don't expect this with anything in particular on that. Also, this argument has been covered a lot by Dominic. And she wrote also on the effect on, you know, generative AI, on productivity and so on. So these are very good pieces.
But she does think some of this investment into building all the semiconductor facilities and all this stuff, this is definitely, I guess, a positive for growth.
Yes, it's positive for growth. And this is one of the reasons I have, and Dominic has an upbeat view on growth. What I think is that if really the Treasury yield hit 5%, they stay there, it would be quite a few months that the rates are elevated, apart from the 2 months at the end of last year, which would start to bite on the economy in the sense that it would start to maybe slow down thing. And given that I have the view that inflation will not go to target, in my personal opinion, without a recession, I think towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, can be more challenging for the economy. But that factor is absolutely a positive factor. And I might underestimate that factor. I don't have,
Well, one question I had, I'm just looking at Bloomberg. So when it shows like core PCE, is it core? Yeah, so it's showing, it's still basically been in a downward trend for like the last year or more, including what's expected next week. And pretty much it looks like it's mainly just coming from services. If this trend, even if it's slow, there's no chance of them hiking. I guess if you look at PC, and I guess you're saying is like most of the data points can be pulled out from either CPI or other things for what PC is going to be. So there's going to be, it shouldn't be a big surprise.
No.
Okay.
No, well, yes, it shouldn't be a big surprise. And you are right, the trend has been down. And I think one of the reasons that I want to take a view, so I'm saying they don't cut in July. I could be wrong, but I want to take this view. One reason they could cut is that if we get three low inflation print in a row and maybe some weaker growth data, it could open the window, because clearly we would get a situation in which we would hit the, you know, the set of economic projection type of target they have for core PC, which is something Dominic mentioned many times, and she's right. So I'm taking the view that inflation will be a little bit more sticky. And second, that given that we had three strong inflation print, the Fed wants to see at least 3 weak inflation print. And 3 weak inflation print is still a big assumption, and growth is resilient. So I take that view, but yeah, I could be wrong, but I prefer to take that view.
And then if your view, before we wrap, I just went ahead. So if your view is there's maybe a decent chance of a recession coming towards the end of this year, early next year, why wouldn't you also be part of, like, I'm not saying duration neutral, but like if you see 2 year get above 5% or 5.1, would you look to receive there? Because you don't see a chance of them hiking, because, you know, it's probably not going to happen in the next 3 months, right? As we said, most likely now at this point looks like you're not going to get enough data points either way. And then if you think then we'll get closer and closer to a potential recession, say in the next 6 to 9 months, gives a certain amount of curious. Just say, obviously, no one's going to nail that perfectly.
Yeah. No,
What
yeah,
do you think about that?
your question is absolutely fair. Now, it is too early for me to go outright long 2 years, the short end, or like that five. Why? Because in my mind, and again, could be wrong, but in my mind, to go in to get a recession or a severe slowdown that would put inflation back to target, we need higher yield, possibly a little bit higher for longer, still for a little bit longer. If that's true, and if that happened, then at that point, when I think it will start to hit more the economy, is the time to shift to long the 2 year. I think it's too early because we are still in a process in which long end yield could go higher in the scenario I described before. And what could derail that? It could derail if Yellen is very, let's say, dovish, so with very little with respect to expectation issuance on the net coupon side. In that case, I think the market easily could rally on that. Equity could rally, bonds could rally. But then it would be losing of financial condition, and the Fed would have to react to me more hawkishly than they wanted, because for me would be inflationary, that type of move
Yeah.
down the
Okay.
line. So still too early to go long that. Best is to be short on the long end with some edge on the long on the long end
Okay.
with some edge on the short end.
Okay, perfect. Anything else for this week, or else I'll just quickly dive into a few highlight a few key publications this past week.
No, there is just to finish on the data, new home sales and yeah, new home sales, which has stabilized between 600K and 700K. Again, in line with consensus, not strong view. They are important because they are a proxy for residential investment in the GDP. If residential investment had to pick up materially, which seems unlikely at this point because yield, the recent increase in yield, that could support more economic overheating, but it's not a factor that I think will support too much, because I think rates are increasing. In case in which, as before, there is a rally in rates and so on, because of Yellen being dovish and so on, then could start more of a pickup in residential investment, which could help overheating, as I said. Then it could again push inflation higher.
Okay,
Yeah.
awesome. Thank you. So I'll just quickly highlight a few pieces. Something just came out today is a very interesting, it's kind of like a presentation worth, I would recommend people going through, that Bilal gave at an event at Cambridge last week. We say why everyone keeps getting the US wrong. So it really dives into what's happening in the US. Also, I think touches on kind of what's happening in the clean energy revolution. Some other interesting things. We kind of break down what are the three interesting charts to look for as a predictor for potential yen intervention. Obviously, 155, 156, there's a lot of increase in talk, and also talk of maybe a kind of a wider intervention across Dollar Asia. We have a kind of reiterated our long Turkey trade and grabbing the carry. Interesting stuff where Caroline Mears are looking at, even despite the carry widening or going higher for Turkey, widening to the dollar or the euro, actually vol's been coming down. So in theory, it's becoming even a more attractive trade. Some of the other ones I really liked. I like the piece where we're kind of looking into, is it time to fade some of the, especially in the shorter end, sell-offs in EM fixed income, being highly correlated to the sell-off in US fixed income, and where would you look to fade those? And maybe, is it a little bit too early? Maybe. But where these are, the different markets we're looking to focus on. Interesting stuff, update on energy, rates, trades, a whole bunch of stuff. So on that, I will wish everyone, a good weekend and, good luck in the markets. And as always, please reach out with any thoughts, suggestions, improvements, feedback, etc.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.